tenemos tu palabra y tu santo, te lo proponemos. Amén. 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 Today we celebrate the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, a Dominican monk, theologian, and doctor of the Church. While he was not a philosopher for a state, his philosophical teachings are deeply gleaned from his writings, since sound theology depends on solid philosophy. He was born in 1225 in the castle of Rocca Secca in the south of Italy, to Nando and Theodora of Italian nobility. At the age of 5, he was sent to the monastery of Monte Cassino to study under the Benedictines. And 9 years later, he went to Naples to study at the newly established university. At the age of 19, he decided to join the recently founded Dominican Order, a decision that did not please his family. They had wanted him to stay at Monte Cassino to become the abbot of a large and prestigious monastery. However, divine providence had other plans, and Thomas was attracted to the Dominican Order, which was relatively young and had little prestige. While he was on a voyage to Rome to continue his studies, his mother had him kidnapped by his brothers and locked up in a family castle. His family attempted many times to convince him to change his mind. For a full year, St. Thomas refused to relent. He quietly studied the Bible and grew in wisdom and knowledge. After becoming tired of waiting, the brothers of St. Thomas conceived one last plan. Certain that physical temptation would drive him to break his vow of chastity, after which he would surely abandon his religious vocation, they introduced a woman of dubious reputation into the room where they held St. Thomas. Their plan did not work. St. Thomas took a red hot fire iron and chased the woman out of the room. He slammed the door behind her and marked the sign of the cross on it. Then he bent down with tears, saying a prayer of thanksgiving before the crucifix, begging to be forever preserved in God, with the intention to live a religious life. Finally, in 1244, since they couldn't break him, to save face, his family provided him with an avenue of escape from the prison where they held him. And St. Thomas went on to study under St. Albert the Great in Paris and then in Cologne. After a first degree, he returned to Paris in 1252 for a master's in theology. During this time, he wrote many commentaries on the scriptures, treatises in philosophy, and an important work to defend the status of mendicant orders in the Church. Like the Dominicans and the Franciscans, he continued copiously producing many works until he was transferred to Naples in 1259. It was during this period that he wrote his apologetical work, Summa Confessionis, the office and mass for the Feast of Corpus Christi, and began his most famous work, the Summa Theologiae. He was transferred to Paris again, particularly to respond to some errors that had become common. And in 1272, he went to Naples to finish the Summa Theologiae and to teach. It was in 1273, after having said Mass, that St. Thomas was seen levitating and speaking to Christ on the cross. Jesus said to him, "You have written well of me, Thomas. What reward do you have for your labor?" And St. Thomas responded, "Nothing but you, Lord." After another such mystical experience, St. Thomas stopped writing, because compared to what he had seen in his vision, all he had written was like straw. On his way to the Second Council of Lyon, he fell ill and was taken to the Cistercian monastery in Fossanuovo, where he died in 1274, 750 years ago to this day, 751. Only at the end of his life did St. Thomas reveal to his secretary, Brother Reginald, what happened after he chased away the woman brought into his room by by his brothers. After praying, he fell at once into a deep mystical sleep and had a vision. Two angels came to him from heaven and bound a cord around his waist, saying, "On God's behalf, we guard you with the girdle of chastity, a girdle which no attack will ever destroy." In the records of his canonization, many different witnesses who knew St. Thomas at different points in his life remarked about his evidently high degree of purity and chastity. The angels came to preserve St. Thomas from sexual temptation and bestowed upon him an enduring purity that ennobled all his thoughts and actions. In his encyclical Studiorum Duce, written for the 6th centenary of the canonization of St. Thomas Aquinas, Pope Pius XI wrote that St. Thomas had not been victorious when his chastity was in heaven. It is very probable that the Church would never have had a angelic brother. In his treatise on the perfection of the spiritual life, St. Thomas points out the importance of living in the world and not being of the world. Whether one has many possessions or not, one should be detached from riches in order to pursue the perfection necessary for the spiritual life. It is not the possessions themselves, but the disordered attachment to them that will surely be a distraction. Over and above this detachment from earthly goods, one has also to practice the virtue of chastity to be detached from the attractions of the flesh. St. Paul was clear on this point in his epistles to the Corinthians, the Romans, and the Ephesians. As a Christian, it is important to keep the body pure and the soul holy. For this, St. Thomas gives many counsels in his treatise. The first and chief remedy is to keep the mind busy in prayer and the contemplation of divine things. The second is the study of the Holy Scriptures. The third is to fill the mind with good thoughts while rejecting evil ones. The fourth is to shun idleness and engage in bodily toil. The fifth and last remedy is to bear suffering patiently, knowing that it is often sent to us in times of temptation to help us reject them. This detachment from earthly goods and from the attraction of the flesh will purify the soul, making it free to pursue a union with God. It is nothing else but charity. The more we turn away from our disordered attachments to things of the world, the more we are free to give ourselves to loving God in all the details of our daily life. Pope Pius XI points out in his encyclical that the soul of St. Thomas, or rather in the soul of St. Thomas, there is another virtue that shone bright, and this is the virtue of humility. It is the foundation for all of the others. This was evident from the details of his daily life, his reverence for the fathers of the Church, and the application of his intelligence to the study of them. This humility, therefore, combined with the purity of heart and sensuous devotion to prayer, dispose the mind of the angelic doctor to receiving the inspirations of the Holy Ghost with docility and following his illuminations. St. Thomas himself writes of the wisdom that goes much beyond that which can be acquired by human effort. A wisdom which comes down from above and judges divine things in virtue of a certain unnaturality with them. This wisdom is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And through it, man becomes perfect in divine things, not only by learning, but also by experiencing them. Because of his devotion to prayer and his application to his duties through his zeal for the religious life, this gift of the Holy Spirit given to St. Thomas grew along with others to reach a culmination at the end of his life, when he could respond to Jesus on the cross that he desired nothing else but our love himself. This meant that let us pray to St. Thomas, asking for his intercession, particularly to gain the virtues of humility, which is the foundation of the spiritual life, and chastity, by which we can be detached from apply ourselves with zeal for the glory of God in the good works that He gives us to do. Let us follow the example of St. Thomas, learning from this man of supreme intellect and consummate learning to abhor all pride of mind and to obtain by humble prayer a flood of divine light upon our souls. Let us also seek to learn from him to banish all temptations of bodily pleasures, for they will render it difficult to contemplate the divine wisdom. We are warned in Holy Scripture, wisdom will not enter into a malicious soul, nor dwell in a body subject to sins. St. Thomas Aquinas was a model of devotion to Our Lady. It was his custom often to repeat the Hail Mary and inscribe a sweet name upon his pages. Following this example, let us also ask for the intercession of Our Lady, so that we too may grow in holiness, intelligence, and wisdom all the days of our life, so that our only desire at the end is our Lord alone. The Holy Mother of God, will make our bodies pure and our souls holy. In the name of